Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. Thank you, Lord, for such a beautiful morning in which we can hear God's word and enjoy it and apply it to our lives. And this morning's reading comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 24, verses 9 through 20. And this is the story of Abraham's faithful servant who fulfilled his oath in finding a wife for Abraham's son, Isaac. Starting with verse 9. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of his master Abraham and swore an oath to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and left, taking with him all kinds of good things from his master. He set out for Aram Naharaim and made his way to the town of Nahor. He had the camels kneel down near the well outside the town. It was toward evening, the time the women go out to draw water. Then he prayed, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside this spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a girl, please let down your jar that I may have a drink, and she says, drink, and I'll water your camels too. Let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this, I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. Before he had finished praying, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin no man had ever lain with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. The servant hurried to meet her and said, please give me a little water from your jar. Drink, my lord, she said, and quickly lowered the jar to her hands and gave him a drink. After she had given him a drink, she said, I'll draw water for your camels too, until they have finished drinking. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough, ran back to the well to draw more water, and drew enough for all his camels. The fulfillment of an oath. Please be seated.
Good morning. Good answer. That was good. I've been at churches and I say good morning, they all stare at me like that. Welcome to Beautiful Savior this morning. I love tomatoes. And I just want to start out by saying that this morning. Who loves tomatoes? Raise your hands. Oh, these are my people. Hallelujah. Good summertime snack, you know? Put a little salt on that. I don't know if you do salt too. Raise your hand if you do salt. Yes. Yes. That was good. So, the reason I'm talking about tomatoes this morning is a few years ago when Annie and I were just married, we were eating a lot of Taco Bell, as newlyweds do, and a lot of Top Ramen, as newlyweds do, a lot of not so many good things like this, not so many fruits and vegetables in our diet, and we were leading a Wednesday night service at the church we were working at the time. And we were, like, again, eating Taco Bell, because that's what you do, nearly wed. And we had been praying with our pastor earlier that day. We said, man, like, God, if you could just provide fruits and vegetables in our diet, that would be amazing. These are expensive, okay? Like, I'm not the organic person, but man, that was good. That was a good tomato. I'm going to stop, or else I'm going to make a mess. And then somebody's going to yell at me. So, but like what I was saying, we pray for these fruits and vegetables in our diet. And as we're eating Taco Bell at night, getting music ready, one of the head elders came into the service and into the church, and he had this huge, giant cardboard box. And I was just like, "What you got in the box, Dave?" And he's like, "Oh, I got all these tomatoes." I was like, "Why do you have a box of tomatoes?" And he had just recently lost his wife. And he said, "Well, I can't eat all these tomatoes by myself. I wanted to bring them to church in hopes that somebody could eat them with me, or that they would be able to take them home, and maybe that somebody could have like fruits and vegetables in their diet or something." And I look at Annie and I just start like laughing. We're both laughing, and we're like, "Oh my goodness, okay, God, that's cool." And I asked him, I said, "Dave, would this be really weird if I took all of your like 60 tomatoes?" And he was like, "Sure, that's fine. You can take my tomatoes." So God granted us with this amazing blessing of having tomatoes. And Annie and I ate tomatoes probably for the next month in every meal. I had like sores on my mouth. It was bad. Like, that was a lot of tomatoes, okay? I don't need that many more tomatoes. Okay, I don't need that much. No more of those tomatoes, okay? Take it easy. Maybe peas or something next time. But, so there were so many tomatoes that we were blessed with that we even had to throw some of them away because they were just going bad. So I tell you this story this morning because I think it correlates really well with the story we just heard about Isaac and Rebecca, and the servant that Abraham sends to find a wife for Isaac. So really quick, just in my own words, let's talk about this. So what did we just read? We just read, so Abraham, we all know who Abraham is. He's like a big deal. He's like kind of like God's like guy of faith. In the Old Testament, first guy who like really has like that strong, gnarly faith. He has a servant. He tells the servant, "Hey, go to the land that I came from and find a wife for my son Isaac." And he's like, "Sure, you got it." So he goes over there. He takes like 10 camels, bunch of gold and silver and all that cool stuff. And he gets to the town and he prays. He says, "You know, Lord, as these girls are coming out, I pray specifically that, you know, this girl would come up and she would offer me water. She would also offer water in my camels." Kind of a weird prayer in our eyes. Like, okay, pretty specific. A lot of us do really vague prayers of like, "Lord, let your will be done." Yeah. And it's like, there's so much more, right? We can have specific prayers. We have a God who loves us and wants to bless us, so we can pray specifically. So we see the servant do this, and right as he's ending his prayer, boom, here comes Rebecca. Holy cow, she's beautiful. Oh, all these wonderful things. And then later on in the story, she marries Isaac. So as some important points this morning about our little story we just heard. So God went before Abraham's servant to prepare Rebecca for Isaac. God prepared Rebecca her entire life to become Isaac's wife. You see how servant-hearted she is. Being a married man, I know how hard you wives work. Really hard. Us guys are lost without you. Thank you very much for all that you do. we're blessed to have you. So God, let's see. God prepared Rebecca by assuring that she was not already married or engaged to anyone else. It says that she's really beautiful, right? So it's a blessing that she wasn't already married. Even that very day, God went before the servant and assured that Rebecca and him would be there at the watering place at the same time. You ever have those moments where you like come into the right moment with somebody else and you're like, "Oh my gosh, this is like a God thing. This is amazing." This is what happens in this moment. So let's see. I tell you these stories this morning so we can recognize that we still have a God who's moving, and that he's doing incredible work even today as we're sitting here and talking about this right now. He's working in every one of our lives. He's going ahead of us and providing for us right now. He's not waiting for us to move. He's moving on his own. Now, granted, this looks differently in each and everyone's lives. So I want to just make sure that I bring value to every stage of a waiting process or where God is doing this in all of our lives. All of these places are valuable. Where you're at with Jesus this morning is valuable. Celebrate that. So, some of us are at the beginning of our next story. We're just starting to pray for those tomatoes. Some of us are in the middle place of traveling through the desert like the servant, or, you know, eating Taco Bell. Some of us are at the end of that story where we get those tomatoes, we get that email or something that we've been hoping for, right? Those are all valuable. So waiting is really hard, amen? Mm-hmm. I hate waiting. I'm pretty good at sitting on my bum and not doing anything. But waiting's hard. You want to see some fruit of something. You want to see what God is doing. So I broke these waiting into kind of three stages. So stage number one, slowing down and waiting. Our second stage is remembering what good comes from waiting. And third, reflection and growth. Let's go to the first one. So slowing down and waiting. Sharing your journey with others is a great gift that we have in the church. Being able to actually slow down and have a community to say, I think God's doing this, but I want to process with you. I believe that community equals clarity in this place. When we're not sure what God is doing and we're in that place of waiting and it's really hard, go to your community. Go to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Lean on each other. This is the gift that we've been given by Jesus. Finding the value in that waiting process, that happens when you reflect, as you talk through. You know, sometimes we think that the beginning of a story is really important and the end of the story is really important. When I was a lead singer of a band for 6 years up in Seattle, our manager used to tell us, it doesn't matter what happens during the beginning or during the middle of your set of music or the middle of a song. What's most important is your ending, your beginning and your end, and sometimes your guitar solo. And I've learned, though, through this process of preparing for the sermon, that waiting is important. That middle space where it's not high, that low place, that's valuable. God is moving there. And don't discount the power of prayer in this. Like I said earlier, the servant prayed specifically. We have to stop praying these vague prayers. Yes, Jesus knows what we're saying, and he knows our hearts. He feels what we feel. I love praying a specific prayer to Jesus because that way he and I are on the same page. That way I recognize I'm honest with myself. I'm real with him. I say, Jesus, I really need your help with this, this, and this, and this. He's like, okay, cool, good. We're on the same page here. That's good. Let's keep talking like this. But we have to slow down and do that first. So, number two, remembering what good comes from waiting. Knowing that God is at work when I can't be helps me to be patient and persevere through the wait time. We are busy people. Amen? I know it's summer, but we still have jobs. We have families. It's really hard to slow down sometimes. God is working even when we're busy. That's something that I've had to let Jesus really speak into my life. About a month or so ago, I was working for Mike McQuiggan. There's your name drop, bud. And I was landscaping for him, and landscaping is a hard job. Yes? Thank you for being a good boss. Thank you, thank you, thank you. However, landscaping is hard. I was busy. I was moving plants. I was moving rocks. I was driving from this house to that house. It was really hard to slow down and talk to Jesus. Granted, half of my coworkers weren't Christian. So talking about Jesus wasn't my normal conversation like I usually have when I'm working in youth ministry or whatever, or hanging out with my wife. But I had to take those little tiny moments, maybe even 1 minute, you know, after lunch. I would just say, I'm going to walk down the street just for a minute. And I would just go and I would pray, Lord, give me the strength that I need to carry those stupid plants to that stupid spot on the yard. Love you, Mike. So, so it's, um, It's important for us to slow down and wait. And I encourage you this morning as you leave this place, find a place in your day when you're working or with your kids or whatever to slow down. Say, I just need a minute. My wife hates when I say, I just need a minute. She's like, oh gosh, we're going to be here for 30 more minutes. However, finding that time to slow down, just take some time with Jesus. He wants to go deeper. Go there with him. So, when God does these things, he writes these stories in our lives. It's like someone is behind the scenes preparing something beautiful that isn't revealed to us yet. This gives us hope and it strengthens our trust in him. He's behind the scenes in our lives. And he was behind the scenes in Annie and I's lives when he was preparing those tomatoes. Did you know that it takes up to 20 to 30 weeks for tomatoes to ripen? Sometimes 80 to 90. Wait, am I getting that right? Weeks or days? Days. Oh, that'd be a long time. Those are some big tomatoes. Those are pumpkins. Takes up to 20 to 30 days for those tomatoes to ripen. God moves ahead of us even when we're not even thinking about tomatoes. Those things in our lives. One part about this stage that I love is that I especially have learned in the last month or so is this time for deep devotion and prayer. It's been this rich spiritual journey walking with Jesus. Really just slowing down and asking him, God, what are you doing in my life today? What have you prepared for me 3 weeks ago for today? Reveal that to me. Slowing down. Give him the time he needs. Don't go to Facebook to find out where God has done this. Sure, there might be a beautiful quote, but it's nothing like the word of God or just taking that time to slow down and say, Jesus, I need you to show me where you're at. He wants to hear from us like that. We're his kids. He loves us. God is moving when we can't. So the third stage of breaking this whole waiting process in is reflection and growth and remembering that waiting is a growing pain. That's been a little saying that I've been kind of saying in my head through this process of waiting is a growing pain. It's hard for me to even prepare for this message because once I did slow down, I realized that the stories in my life where God has gone before me are endless. They never stop. He's constantly moving. It's amazing. He's working right now in every one of our lives. And it only takes us a few minutes to slow down and really see where he's at. So, a little self-disclosure about me and about my wife and I, where we're at in our stage of life, is we're still waiting. Annie and I are moving to Sydney we're supposed to be in a month moving to Sydney to go plant churches and do youth programs and do music and all these wonderful things. You know, we just graduated from Concordia and we're ready to go. The past month, we moved up to Seattle to live with my folks, and we've been waiting. We don't have jobs. We were ready to go and work. My wife is a nanny, and she called the nanny agency, and they said, well, if you can't commit to 6 months, sorry, we can't give you a job. And I went to the church that we used to work at and went into the pastor's office, and I don't know, we're doing VBS next week. That's cool. But we haven't worked. We don't have what we need. Well, that's not true. We do have what we need. God gave us this time to wait. I had to live out this sermon, and I'm so thankful for that. Waiting is crucial. And if you're in that waiting space this morning, I encourage you, have peace. God is working something beautiful. It's hard, and it really stinks sometimes when you want to just see what God is doing. But know that the waiting process is valuable. I've learned so much from this process, from this place that I've been in. We're still waiting for the visas. Last week was cool. We had a bunch of emails about things are going in, and, you know, the Australian government really recognizes us and all these things, but there's still no visas. I signed my first letter of, like, call, but I'm still waiting, and that's okay. I have peace in my heart because I know that Jesus is preparing us. He's preparing us for those people that we're meeting when we get there that first day. He's preparing those people for when we get there. He's working. So my question for you this morning is this. Which part of the process are you in? Are you just starting to pray and hope for something? Are you where Abraham's servant was when he started out his journey to find out who would be the wife for Isaac? Are you just starting to pray for tomatoes? What are you praying for? Where are you at? Are you at the beginning? That's valuable. Celebrate that. And maybe you're in the waiting process. Maybe you're still waiting for those tomatoes to ripen. You're waiting for those visas to come through. You're waiting for to hear back from your doctor. You're waiting about that job. You're waiting for that thing. That is awesome. Celebrate it. Take what Jesus is giving you in front of you and celebrate that time with him. Spend time with him. Slow down. Be in devotion with him. Are you in the place of answered prayer and celebration? Where you've received the tomatoes you prayed for. Or it's the part of the story about Isaac and Rebekah when the servant knew that God had put Rebekah right in front of him. This is when God delivers a very obvious answer to our prayer. If you're in that place, celebrate that too. Celebrate each stage. Jesus is moving when we can't. So I want to encourage you to take a moment now to bring to mind those things that you're still hopeful for. The things that you're praying for, whether it be tomatoes. Maybe it literally is tomatoes. Maybe you're like Annie and I and you need some veggies. That's awesome. Fruits and veggies, good for you. So let's take a moment and let's just leave what we're hoping for and praying for at the foot of the cross. Let's pray. Jesus, we know that you are always at work when we can't be. Thank you that we can trust you. That you give us hope and endurance, even when we can't see the end of the story. Thank you for the stories that you are just beginning, those fresh places of hope. Thank you for all that you teach us during the waiting process and the way that you use it to prepare us. Thank you for ripe tomatoes. We see how you've provided for us and gone before us. We ask that you would give us the eyes to see you at work even through the waiting. Lord, we lift all these things up in your name, Jesus. Amen. I'll invite the band to come on up. As we sing these songs, like I said, I encourage you, go deeper with Jesus. Let's slow down this morning and offer our hearts to him. Offer those things that we're hopeful for and know that they're probably in the best hands ever, and those aren't necessarily yours, so trust him.
So 1 Corinthians 12 has this description of the church as this body. Verse 28, it talks about how God is the one that arranges the parts of that body. And that's always been a comfort to me, because in all of my years of ministry, I've realized that the church is a body. At least the local one doesn't really stay static. There's a lot of movement about it. And you're a part of that too, right? I mean, maybe you are looking for a place to connect into that body and looking to see, where is God arranging me to be a part of a body? Maybe you're saying, like, I feel like this is the place in the family, the body that I need to be a part of. And for some of us, then, there's a moving on, right? There's a new body that God is inviting us to be a part of. That's challenging at times. We maybe often prefer more static things, and I know you and you know me, and we'll all stay together forever. But God doesn't always do things that way. That doesn't mean that it's wrong to love. We have this kind of permanent place of that, but it means that there is that movement within the body. And so Alex and Annie are a part of that movement right now. We have been really blessed for 2 years to love on them and be loved by them. It has been awesome, and I don't regret it at all. Do you? No, and there's heartbreak as we let them go to Sydney. And let that city be blessed by how they blessed us. But there's joy too. We know that'll be good for them. That'll be good for Sydney. And we know we have this promise that we are family forever. You got that, Alex, Annie? Yeah? So come on up here. We want to commission you, which is a valuable word, right? It's not just missioning them, which is sending them. It's co-missioning them. So come on all the way up here. You can stay down a step, and Annie will stay up a step. And then you can come a little closer because I feel so far from you right now. So as we commission them, what I hope is that this isn't merely one season of prayer and then we kind of forget. I would invite you to say, I want to continue to be in prayer. And that's a place, don't do it out of guilt by any means, right? Let God kind of center on your heart. But if you want to be in prayer for them and God kind of lays it on your heart that their ministry in Sydney matters to you and you want to engage in that, then we will get you connected so you can be in touch with how they're doing and find out how things are going and be in prayer for that. That's not for everybody, right? We have a lot of different people. But if that weighs on your heart, we definitely want you to keep that connection to Alex and Annie. So right now, we just want to send you and the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to pray over them right now. Father, you are so very good. And the church is yours, God. You arrange the parts just as you want them to be. And it is with deep joy that we appreciate that you arranged Alex and Annie with us a couple years ago. Now, we didn't seek them out. We didn't even know they existed. And you just kind of brought them into our midst, God, and have blessed us in tremendous ways through their hearts, through their leadership, through the worship, through the way they've prayed and kind of lived with us. And we pray that we've been a blessing to them too. And God, we acknowledge you have the freedom to call them where you want them to go. And we thank you, God, for the city of Sydney, Australia. We thank you, God, for the people of God gathered there already with a heart to glorify your name and share about you. And we thank you for a calling for Alex and Annie to go together, to plant churches, God, to establish and grow that youth ministry. And so we trust, God, just in the same way that you prepared those tomatoes ahead of time, that you're also preparing this ministry ahead of time. You've been there for a long time, God. And you know exactly what you want them to do and where you want them to go. And so we have confidence, God, that this does not rest on their ability, on their strength, on their wisdom, on any of those things, but fully on you. And so we pray that you would surround them with first of all, a spirit of peace. That they don't have to rush the timing or figure it out. They don't have to become successful there. They don't have to achieve or run after any of those things. That you are the God that generates that. So grant them a peace in their hearts, Father, in that. We pray that you would continue in this time of preparing to prepare them. We pray, God, that you would knit their marriage more and more strongly together, grant them great openness and honesty, commitment and faithfulness to each other, God, and vulnerability, that they might grow ever closer as a married couple as they move in ministry. We pray that you continue to teach their hearts, God, how to pray, how to wait, how to listen for you, how to move only when you call them to, Father. And we ask, God, then that you would bless the ministry they bring to Sydney. We pray, Father, that you would, through them, plant churches there and expand your kingdom in that place. We pray that you would bring good friends around them, those who know Christ, those who don't, and allow them to live out their faith in deep and meaningful ways. God, we pray the church that is welcoming and gathering them there would do that fully and honestly, not just as workers in the harvest field, but as brother and sister, as family, to be loved and celebrated and cared for. God, grant deep and rich relationships as they go there too. And Father, then we send them in the power of your Holy Spirit, ready to bless your world and ready to welcome whoever else you bring into our midst. And we pray that in your name, O God. Amen. Amen. Amen.